Robert Carlson is a wheat and barley farmer in North Dakota. He's also the president of the North Dakota Farmers Union, an organization that represents the state's family farms. Mr. Carlson traveled to the nation's capital this week, not to lobby Congress, but to attend the opening of a restaurant called Agraria. Agraria is owned and operated by the North Dakota Farmers Union. It cost nearly $4 million to launch on Georgetown's posh harborfront. It's a sleek and modern place where every ingredient in every dish is produced by American family farmers, right down to the flour and the pasta. We stopped by Agraria on the afternoon before the big opening to ask Mr. Carlson about this curious venture.
Farmers aren't all about getting federal money. We're also about doing things to help ourselves. And one way to do that in this economy in agriculture that's becoming more and more globalized is to find specialty markets or premium markets, or to add value to your products. The ultimate way to add value to your product is to put it in front of a consumer in a restaurant. There, nobody gets in between you and the consumer, and you can capture a larger share of the consumer's dollar.
Explain to me how exactly that happens.
The pasta, for example, the flour is just shipped directly from our mill in North Dakota right to this restaurant. There isn't collection points in between. There aren't corporate entities that are aggregating flour and treating it as a commodity and shipping it. We have trucks that drive straight from Fargo, North Dakota, for example, to this restaurant.
Can you find a menu and kind of share it with us?
Well, all right, let's do this linguine frutti di mare. That's linguine pasta. That's from North Dakota. It's the pasta's made here, but the flour, the Durham flour, comes from North Dakota. It's in a lobster sauce with calamari and shrimp. The shrimp comes from family shrimpers in the Gulf. I went down and visited with those guys. They go out and catch the shrimp. They're family-owned shrimp boats, and those guys are having a tough time competing against farm-raised shrimp coming from Southeast Asia. And so we're getting shrimp directly from them. Now that we get it up here in less than a day, fresh. Cape Cod fishermen, hook fishermen, are supplying us tuna and the various kinds of fish they catch in that part of the world. We're also getting mahi-mahi from family fishermen in Hawaii, and salmon from Alaska, from family fishermen in Alaska. So I went a little bit beyond the menu there, but we will be having all those things directly from those sources.
How am I going to learn about that? Is there going to be like a pamphlet that comes with my meal? Or
you're not going to have to endure a lecture about where your food comes from before you dine and get a glass of wine and chat with your friends. People come to a restaurant to eat and enjoy. They don't necessarily come to learn.
Was it hard to get farmers to want to invest in a restaurant? Restaurants are notoriously risky. You know, you hear of restaurants opening and closing within months sometimes.
Yes, it was difficult, and we've been at this for about 4 years. Farmers take a lot of risk, ironically enough, in their farming operation, risks with the weather, risk with prices that are determined by international markets. But they're very risk-avoidant when it comes to getting into an enterprise beyond their farm, and this is certainly one of those. So we have, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I would say that we've studied this to death. We've had two consulting firms do extensive studies on the restaurant business. We identified specifically this level of price in a restaurant, upper-end family dining, the size, this fairly large size, as being the most feasible place for us to enter the restaurant market. I mean, we had people counting the number of people that walked by this location, so we did an exhaustive amount of study, and we got the best consultants we could get. So I think our chances of success are better than average, but it's still risky.
So are you hoping for a little extra mileage being here in Washington, D.C., where I'm guessing farmers come to lobby and need somewhere to take somebody to dinner every now and again?
Yeah, we do have, there are a lot of farm groups headquartered in Washington, D.C. Actually, we're not Jack Abramoff, even though some people have made that unfortunate comparison. But this really has nothing to do with lobbying. It has a lot more to do with the fact that Washington, D.C. really never has a recession. that there's a lot of disposable income here, that there's a lot of dining out here. I hope it's successful and that we have many more of these around the country before too long.
Where did the name come from?
The name came from a woman farmer in Mattock, North Dakota, named Lisa Filiti, who said, I think we should call it Agraria, which means from the land. And I thought, you got it. That's right. That sounds good. And so we went through all the mispronunciations of that, Agraria and all that thing, for people that don't know their Latin or their roots of words. But I thought, well, you know, that might even give it a little more appeal. It's, how do you say that? And, you know, you kind of stand out a little bit.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Mr. Robert Carlson of the North Dakota Farmers Union.
Well, thank you. It was a great pleasure, and I hope you come back here and bring your friends.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott.